It's a beautiful morning.
I do not mean to rub it in if there's rain still in your part of the state, but it has cleared through here and it is gorgeous. The cornfield looks like it is a heavenly choir celebrating and extending to the heavens. If you want to sign up for our newsletter, and I hope you do, go to upnorthnewswi.com. Click on newsletter right there in the top banner, and you can subscribe there and find out what kinds of things I prattle on about after the show, about things that are happening primarily in state politics, but occasionally in national politics as well. And fortunately for us, the company doesn't have to entirely rely on me for national politics. We actually have people who know these things. Carolyn Fiddler is one of them. And she is in Pittsburgh at the Netroots Nation Convention and is joining us there. Carolyn, good morning.
Good morning.
Okay. Nice to have you. You
nice have to a be busy here.
You have a busy day ahead of you down there. So we'd better just start at the beginning and tell people what exactly Netroots Nation is. And is it basically, I actually start with that and then I will completely malign it. So what is it?
Fair enough. Hi, I'm Carolyn Fiddler. Really happy to be here. And yes, happy to be here on the show and also really happy to be back at Netroots Nation. Netroots Nation's been around, this is its 17th year, although only its 15th as Netroots Nation. Netroots Nation actually started off as Yearly Kos, which a play on Daily Kos, which is the blog that's 20 years old now. But it started as a way for folks online to gather in real life and connect. And it quickly grew into the premier conference for progressives and also into just a place for organizers to meet, activists, sort of career progressives, like people who work in the industry. Labor has always been a huge part of Netroots Nation, which as befits labor's role as a critical part of the underpinnings of the progressive movement. They've been an early sponsor. But this is, let's see, my first Netroots was in 2010.
Okay.
And I've missed two since then. So I've been to a lot of Netrootses.
And that has been what, as a presenter, a panelist, a speaker, or, you know, an attendee?
I don't think I've ever been when I wasn't on a panel or moderating a panel. Netroots is a collection of trainings and panels and keynotes with amazing progressives. And every year I've been here, I've been on at least one panel, and it's super fun because you get to talk about stuff that I love, like state politics, redistricting. Mm-hmm. Yeah, those are usually my panels, actually. Just yesterday, I was on a panel where a lot of tea was spilled. We talked about what went wrong in Virginia last year and lessons we can take away from it. And a lot of activists were there. Mm-hmm. A lot of feelings were had. A lot of Virginians kind of worked out some ghosts from last year, and it was super fun. And then on Saturday, I am moderating a panel on misinformation in the media. So if anyone is here at Netroots, please come and join us at 3:15 on Saturday, Eastern time. Or if you're joining from home virtually, you can stream it. It's one of the featured panels. So so nice to be back. The last 2 years were virtual, which is mm-hmm. better than nothing, but not the same. So
not the same as getting everybody together. I saw that at the state Democratic convention this year as well. Now the part it sounds like I'm maligning it, but for for people who aren't plugged in or just plugged in enough to know, they've heard of CPAC. They've heard mm-hmm. of the conservative conference that appears to be getting more wackadoodle each year. But maybe it had, you know, good intentions when it started out as activists. How much is there a parallel, and how much of it is A, no, this is a different group of people, and B, we're not wackadoodles?
Well, I guess wackadoodle is in the eye of the beholder to a point.
True.
I mean, at this point, conservatives look at a glass of water and they don't say half full or empty, or they're like, that's a dragon. Like, they're exactly. just completely divorced from reality in many levels. But this conference is definitely, you know, very far left, very liberal. To be here, you have to agree to a code of conduct, which involves respecting people's pronouns and personal space and bodily autonomy. There's a lot of respect. And if you don't behave yourself, you're asked to leave. It's very straightforward. Our credentials, let me reach for mine.
Sure.
Have things like you put a sticker on to let people know what pronoun you use. Just to avoid any misunderstandings. We'd like to avoid those things. Mm-hmm. But these are hardcore progressives. There have been times when keynote speakers have been subject to protests from the audience. And sometimes it can get kind of harrowing.
Does that make it?
But that's part of the movement.
I hate to bring, to reopen old wounds, but I mean, is this basically then just the Bernie contingent, and they would still to this day tell you, Hillary Clinton shouldn't have been the nominee? Is it that?
No,
is it
not at
still
all.
That divisive?
No, not at all. In fact, I hope I'm not misremembering. I think actually Bernie was the object of one of those protests years back.
And that I totally understand. Yes.
Yeah, no, it's a mix of progressives. Like, okay. I consider myself more of a pragmatic progressive, but they are just like real hardcore liberals with whom I mostly agree, but maybe not on everything. And, progressives are a big tent. And so we have multiple viewpoints here. And it makes for a really fun, interesting, diverse on every level conference. Like, okay, we are missing actual conservatives, but that's okay.
But there is that natural tension. I've certainly felt it after every election cycle, especially when it doesn't go well. And that is, you've got the people farther to the left saying the problem was the candidate wasn't bold enough and, embrace its values. And of course, folks more in the center left say, well, the candidate came off as too fire breathing and was too easily, tarred as an extremist. And of course, there's never a right answer, especially when a candidate loses. And
right.
does that backdrop play out in the postmortem about Virginia governor's race where Youngkin was the winner?
There's a little of that. Some people do consider they do believe that one of the Jennifers, state senator Jennifer McClellan, who was on that panel yesterday and had a lot of thoughts, obviously. She ran in the primary for Virginia governor, and Jennifer Carol Foy, who was a member of the state house. People do think there is a school of thought, and which is completely fair, that like one of those candidates would have been more viable than Terry, would have performed better than Terry.
Terry McAuliffe, but, yeah.
Yeah, sorry.
It's okay.
Very Virginia here.
Yeah.
Everybody knows Terry. But also, like, combined, the two Jennifers didn't pull half the vote share that Terry did in the primary. Mm-hmm. Or didn't pull the vote. To combine, they didn't approach his vote share, I should say. But if you can't win a primary, it's hard to make the case that you're going to win a general. However, the primary was in June, and the landscape had definitely changed a lot between then and the general election in November. So I think there is a viable case to be made that one of the Jennifers would have performed better or maybe just had a better campaign, because a lot of what we discussed in this panel was the failure of data modeling, polling. There were so many problems with that race that went on to affect down ticket races as well. Democrats lost the House of Delegates that year, too, which sucked.
It did. But there is in that. Again, that postmortem that's done, there are factors that are just out of anybody's control. And when we're talking about a primary election, name ID still right. rules the roost, whether
and
it's Terry McAuliffe,
had.
A former national chair, or as we learned, a couple of years back, Joe Biden in a big primary field, Tony Evers in a big primary field, and all of the organization in the world is still climbing a very tall mountain if the candidate with name ID has no glaring faults. And I think that's still a tough lesson, and I will call it a lesson. It's a tough lesson for newer or younger people involved in politics to grasp. It's that hatred of that saying, it's not what you know, it's who you know. But it works with voters too.
It does. It is important for sure. But Terry just didn't run a winning campaign on a lot of levels. So we had leaders of activist groups in Virginia there to talk a lot about their field work, what they were hearing on the doors. It's a really cool panel.
Mm-hmm. No, it sounds like it. But I want to stick with the hand wringing for a minute here. Because in Wisconsin, the most recent example of that for progressives mm-hmm. was when Brian Hagedorn won a state Supreme Court seat, and every poll indicated that he was going to lose. And the commercials, the messaging from the left was pretty merciless about one part of his right-wing background, which was supporting private schools that were extremely, you know, anti-gay.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And everybody thought he was a goner. Republicans thought he was a goner. And yet he won. And in the end, it turned out to be because that religious faction of voters got wind of that, really got active, and frankly surprised the rest of the state. So you just never know when you're talking about messaging, not just what's going to motivate your folks, but what is actually going to motivate some or all of the voters on the other side of the fence. And I don't know that there are many other examples like that, but again, there's so many things that are not in your control, and yet you have to try your best at gatherings like this anyway to try to figure them out.
It's true. It's true. And there was some postmortem hand-wringing in Virginia last year about critical race theory, CRT, and like, is that why Terry McAuliffe lost? And no. But the conversation around education in schools was part of why he lost, because he just ceded that entire narrative to Youngkin. And Youngkin, there was some talk about CRT, but mostly Youngkin was tapping into frustration and anxiety that parents had after, you know, a year at that point of having their kids home from school, doing school at home. And Terry said in a debate, it was an offhand comment that like parents shouldn't have a say in like, well, either like books or something, but like, it was, he didn't mean it the way it came out, but
Youngkin, those offhand comments though. I mean, if that's not the wild card of all politics, like, a politician just said what he really was thinking, you know, or slipped up and didn't quite convey what he or she was really thinking. And then again, all the plans, all the data, everything just gets thrown right out the window sometimes.
Absolutely. And Terry took like, it was 2 weeks at least to respond to that. He just let Youngkin run with it. And by the time he got around to trying to beat back that narrative, it was way too late. And that from then on, he was just responding to everything Youngkin was doing. He was not leading.
Wow, that is so reminiscent of the Swift boat attacks against John Kerry in 2004.
A little bit, yeah.
Where you know, a lot of people behind the scenes were like, "Where is he? When's he going to say something?" What? And you're thinking for the moment there, well, you know, let's not give it more oxygen.
Right.
But on the other hand, if you don't respond at all, then the other side gets to run with it. It's, again, I don't know how you and others who do this for a living can do it, because there's so much that's out of your control, but you have to try your best.
Exactly. It's so true. And there were a lot of problems in campaigns in Virginia last year. So,
mm-hmm. Well, we'll talk more about how this might apply to the Wisconsin races coming up after the break with Carolyn Fiddler, a national expert on state politics who now works with us at Courier Newsroom and for Up North News. She is at the Netroots Nation Convention in Pittsburgh. We will continue the conversation on the other side of this break. I'm Pat Kreitlow. You're Up North.